Welcome to Tikva. We're back. It's Sophie.
And Annie.
And today we are talking about time. Time through the eyes of a child. Annie says that she's got some thoughts and a story to share, so she's going to take it away.
I feel like Sophie kind of hyped it up a little bit. This has been something I feel like the Lord has just been, like, kind of hammering into my brain recently. And so I just wanted to share kind of this story that made me, like, really have to stop and focus on it. So, this past Friday, which I guess you don't really know what Friday it is. It doesn't matter. The Lord was like, you need to just, like, take a chill pill. And I very reluctantly had to because I kind of had no choice. So I'll just take you through my day if y'all care to join. So I woke up that Friday morning and, like, got ready, left for work with plenty of time. I was like, oh, I'm going to be early. I needed gas, and it's still going to be early when I was going to get gas and get to work. So that was fine. I was not in a rush. But then I get to the gas station, and it's super busy. There's no pumps full, and I just started getting, like, a little frustrated, and I'm like, okay, like, I need to go. Like, still plenty of time to get to work, but I just started getting really antsy, and I was like, no, I have somewhere to be. And so I finally pull in and get gas, and then this lady comes up. She pulls up in her car and she's like, hey, like, I'm not asking for money, like, I'm just asking, like, could you buy me just, like, a quarter of a tank of gas, like, no big deal. And I was like, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just me, like, being stingy. That's probably what it was. And I think I was scared that people at the gas station were gonna be like, oh, she's soft, like, she just gives in, like, she's being taken advantage of. I don't know. Whatever it was wrong. And I lied to that lady in her face. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. Like, I've really got to go. And all of that was such a big, fat lie. And she hugged me and looked at me and said, it's okay, I love you, and gave me a kiss on the cheek. Which, there are, like, things aside to probably assess with that. But in that moment, I was like, holy cow. Like, she looked at me in the moment where I just, like, lied to her. And was trying to, like, get where I'm going, like, in such a big hurry for no reason. And I don't know, just, like, showed me so much grace. And so I was driving down the road, and then just, like, a wave of conviction just, like, hit me. And I was like, Lord, I just, like, lied to your face. Like, lied to, like, an image bearer's face, which it's like lying to God's face. Anyway. And so I was like, dang, like, I think you have something to teach me in that. And then I get to work. Get through work, and then I had to be somewhere that afternoon at, like, 4 o'clock on the other side of Atlanta. And if you don't know me, I don't drive through Atlanta. I don't know anything about it, so I didn't think about the fact that there's probably going to be traffic on a Friday afternoon around 3 o'clock. So I'm driving, and before I even leave Athens, it floods, and it's just like I can't see. And then the people that I'm meeting are late, and I get really frustrated when people are late. I like to be on time, all of that. They're late, it's flooding, I can't really see, and I'm still just kind of, like, thinking about what happened that morning in the back of my head, and still just kind of in that hurry. I promise this story has a point. Also, I know I'm kind of rambling.
I trust you.
But, so then I start driving. I have to drive by myself because of circumstances, but other people were driving too, and start driving my way, and it floods. It, like, floods so bad that I can't see. Like, I have to pull over, and then traffic gets really bad, and then turns out that I'm, like, an hour late to where I'm supposed to be, which was kind of a big deal because I was, like, in charge where I was supposed to be, so did not need to be an hour late. But that whole drive of me just, like, having to go super slow and like, stop and, like, being alone, the Lord was just like, I'm doing this for a reason. Like, I need you to slow down. And so, as we were preparing for this podcast, and Sophie and I were talking about the topic, I was like, I think we can learn a lot from the way that children view, like, timing and the way they spend their days. Because, I mean, for me, like, there's so much that I've probably missed because I've just been, like in a hurry. Or there's so many people that, like, the Lord has given me the opportunity, or had the opportunity for me to love, and I just, like, completely disregarded them because I had my head down, like, trying to hurry and get what I wanted to do done because I didn't really care. Like, I just cared about me and what I had to do. So I don't know, that was kind of the basis for why I wanted to talk about this weekend, or talk about this topic. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. I don't know, I think, I don't, what should I, should I just start with my thoughts, or do you have any thoughts you want to do?
You jump. You take it away, Annie.
Okay. Well, I think it's really cool that if you just give a kid, like, a whole day and you're just like, do what you want to do, they're not like, the kids that I know, maybe you were different as a kid, maybe you know some really, like, type A kids, but, like, I don't know, I just noticed that they will start playing with this one toy, and then, like, when they feel like they want to move to something different, like, then they'll move on. And it also reminds me of, if anybody's seen Wonder Woman, the country, I don't know, the place where all, like, are they Amazon women? That, like, Wonder Woman and all her women friends live, they don't have clocks. I remember this part, and it stuck out so big to me, and I know this is a rabbit tail, but I don't really care. They don't have clocks, and so when that guy crashes his plane and she sees his watch, she's like, what is that? And he's like, it's a clock. And she's like, we just, like, go by the sun and how it rises and it sets, and we just get up, do what we need to do, and then we do whatever we want to do for the rest of the day. And that's just so cool to me. And I think kind of with children, too, how they aren't really bound by time. That's like saying the Lord. How children aren't really, like, preoccupied with, like, time and, like, okay, I need to spend 30 minutes doing this so that I can get this done and this done and this done. And, like, yeah, that has to do with kids not having responsibility, but also, like, there's a lot of freedom in, like, breaking free from a schedule. And I think we see that a lot in kids. Mm-hmm. Not that schedules are bad. Like, schedules are very important and needed, but I don't know. I wonder what the world would be like if we just broke away from our schedules for, like, a day.
Sabbath.
I was wondering if you're going to pick up on that.
That was good. I wonder, too, if part of the reason that it's easier for children is, and I feel like this has to be easier when you're younger compared to when you're older, because you have your whole life stretched out ahead of you, and so for you, there is, like, feels less of a limit on time.
Mm.
You know, as a child, the thought of being 15 even seems so old and so far away.
Yeah.
And every year feels like it lasts forever. But the older you get, the quicker the years go by, and you start thinking that you're, like, approaching death. You know, you're getting one step closer. And at our age, we're not really thinking about that. But by the time you're 60, you're thinking about that. And then time feels more shrunk and limited, and you're trying to fit everything in.
Yeah, or and even, so, I mean, even at our age, too, like, LOL, like, thinking, like, oh, I'm going to get married, like, I need to do what I want to do, like, single.
No, that's a good point, because yeah, that's how we operate a lot.
Yeah, like, we give us, like, ourselves these, like, what are they called?
Deadlines,
yeah, thank you. Yeah. These deadlines, and we're like, okay, we got to cram it all in, or, like, do what we think we need to do, but I don't know, I think we miss a lot if we're trying to, like, fit things into our own, like,
schedule. And plan.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, it all stems out of us, again, the whole thing of us just trying to accomplish things on our own, as if we could be the rulers of time and bend it to our will if we schedule it well enough.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that ends up being another dynamic, because the older we get, we also try to master time, whereas children are okay with letting time be time.
Yeah.
And not trying to control it. I mean, even as a child, I think, from my memory, you still have plenty of moments where you are at a birthday party, or maybe you have a grandparent visiting, and you can feel the clock ticking even then, and you know that you don't want the experience to end, and so I think you get stressed about those things.
Yeah.
So, not that kids are immune to this, but I think more often, yeah, they're able to soak in the current moment.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting, I'm just going to throw this out there.
Please do.
This is just curveball, boom. A lot of people, I feel like, they have this argument that things are more valuable because time is limited. So life is made good because it ends in death, and therefore death is important in that regard. And I think that's very interesting. And some people will be like, I don't even want to live for eternity because surely it would get boring because unlimited time, what would we do with that? Which, maybe there's a lot philosophically going on wrong there, but I thought it was interesting. Yesterday, I discovered this incredible man.
Oh, my.
He was giving this lecture on wonder, and it was an academic approach, and it was just fascinating. But somebody asked him kind of a question about that and how wonder related to that, and he was like, I think, you know, eternity will it's almost as if time would stand still because we're so soaked in wonder at that place. And he had talked earlier about how when you really let yourself, open yourself up to wonder, time does seem to slow or even stand still. It doesn't move in the same way. You're just sort of caught so fully in that moment. Whether it's something, maybe it's something like standing on top of a mountain and you're just like, just staring over this beautiful valley and these incredible sights. And if you've experienced it, you know that time kind of stands still in that moment. And so he's really just sort of magnifying that out through eternity is what that would look like. I just thought that was an interesting concept because it sometimes it does seem like things are made more valuable because they don't last forever. But I don't know if that's really true.
I don't think it is. I think it's like the thing that is happening is valuable because it's valuable. Like, it's not the shrinking clock or, like, the shortening time that's making it valuable. It's the thing. Like, I think...
And maybe we get... And maybe it's part of, like, the newness. So, like, say, if you hang out with someone occasionally, maybe you really value those moments because you don't get to see them often.
Yeah.
But then you sort of see them every day, and each time you see them, it feels like the value decreases a little bit because it's become... There's more time there. It's more of a normal part of routine. But I think that's more on us of not really sitting and soaking in the normal everyday of what's happening and treasuring things that are less bounded by time than them actually becoming less valuable.
Yeah.
Because surely they're not. This person is incredible if you're spending that much time with them.
Yeah. No, that's good. I would agree.
There's no congruent thought here.
No, we're just trying to, we're actually, like, having a conversation.
Yeah, we didn't write any notes.
Let us know how you think about it. Could be fun. Yeah, I think, too, well, going off your point of, like, eternity, like, thinking about when that moment comes when we do get to spend eternity, when we get to spend eternity with the Lord, like, that's a long time. And I don't know, I just have a lot of thoughts, like, floating in my head about, like, because I think it is our, like, humanly, like, nature to be, like, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to fill our time? Because there's just so much and, like, all of this stuff. But, like, I don't know, I wonder if that's where our, like, human nature and, like, selfish or fleshly desire, I don't know what I'm trying to say, I'm gonna be honest, our flesh desire to, like, get things done, to, like, just do things when, like, do you know what I'm trying to get at? I don't know if my thoughts are making sense, but I think as humans we have this, like, desire to, like, do things and just, like, do things and, like, check things off. I don't know, like, be super productive, but, like, in heaven, like, maybe we just get to, like, sit there sometimes and, like, that's gonna be okay, but we place so much more value on, like, actually doing things than just, like, sitting and being in the presence of the Lord. Maybe that's our perspective on, like, productiveness.
Probably. And I mean, you think when you look to it at Jesus and the way that he, like, lived through his earthly ministry, he was never on, like, a ticking time thing. Like, sometimes he intentionally waited things out.
Yeah.
And he was always willing to let himself be interrupted by people. Mm. He never was...
That's good, yeah.
He never was running out of time so that he had to say, forget you, I've got other things to do. And the disciples were a lot of times confused by that, you know? And so we're all the disciples, obviously. And so Jesus is constantly flipping our understandings of things on their heads. I think that's the primary thing that he's always doing. And so I think he flips our perception of time on its head and what is truly valuable and what is important, and therefore how do we spend the time that we've been given.
That's good. That's a good, I like that. I also think within this there's, like, a conversation for, like, fun and, like, doing things we enjoy and, like, finding the joy in that, because, like, we can fill our time. I noticed myself this week, like, filling my time, like, I go to work and then I get off and then I go work out and then I have, like, 2 hours before I want to go to bed, and so in those 2 hours, like, what am I doing, like, how am I, like, experiencing or, like, even, like, stewarding the good things that the Lord has given me. You know what I mean? Like, he's given me friends. He's given me, like, this amazing city where there are great things and fun things to do. And I think he, like, gives us that as a gift. And so how are we using that to steward, like, our freedom and our joy? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that could also be part of, like, this timing conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes into all of it, because you have to sort of use up time to sit there and open yourself up to the possibility of joy, of wonder, of anything like that. It means you have to stop. Otherwise, that's the joy of quarantine.
Yeah.
I mean, for real, when I was in the UK, everybody's been giving me a hard time about this, so this is just going to become one of my stories that I just tell the rest of my life. But we were stuck for 5 days in this small house with a relatively small back garden, but thank goodness it had a back garden, otherwise we'd really feel claustrophobic. But I explored every square inch of that garden, because 5 days, and I want to be outside, so I'm going to look at all the spaces. And I discovered that there were tons of snails there, just, like, everywhere. There's snails under every leaf in the greenhouse, everywhere. And so I literally, one day, I spent half an hour sitting there watching a single snail move. Like, I was just playing with it a little bit, and this is complicated. But because there was no other thing demanding time of me, I literally had nothing else to do with my time.
Yeah.
And so I sat there, and my friend was next to me. We were both sitting there just watching this snail and just talking about this snail. But it was a beautiful and wondrous thing. And I don't usually find wonder in snails. I just sort of walk past them and ignore them. But when you're forced to stop and pause and forget about time and forget about all the other things you have to do, then all of a sudden you discover this whole new world of excitement. It's just waiting for you, literally right out your back door.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of enjoying God's creation. And, like, mm-hmm. like literally me, I was, like, trying to think of something smart to say back to that. Because, like, who would ever in their, like, normal, like, day-to-day life be like, I'm going to sit here and spend 30 minutes looking at a snail.
It wasn't boring.
Yeah. It was. And I think that's exciting. Like, we miss out on all these gifts that the Lord has given us because we're just like, no, like, I can't. Head down, like, grind, and, like, mm-hmm. that's just bull crap. I will say it. Because we miss out on snails. Like, I've never looked at a snail, and I'm sure you learned a lot about the snail and how it moves and, like, all these things, and I'm sure there are people who know that, but, like, does the average follower of God know, like, the intricate workings, and I know you don't either, Sophie, but, like, do you know how a snail moves in 30 minutes, and, like, why shouldn't we? Like, the Lord created snails and put them on here for a purpose.
Yeah, for us to discover and wonder at, and they're a mystery.
Yeah, I'm gonna go look up snails whenever I get home and spend 30 minutes learning about them. Thank you, Sophie.
Yes.
Earlier you were talking about, like, the way we, like, schedule our lives, and I think this is just thought came to me. I think that's where we get in a lot of, like, I won't say we. I think that's where I get into a lot of, like, bad places, because I'm, like, trying to, like, plan out these things in my life, and I'm like, okay, this is gonna happen then, and then, and then, and that timing that I place in my life when those things aren't necessarily, like, what the Lord has for me in that time, I get kind of mad. And I think we like to play God of our own life sometimes, and
sometimes
a lot of times, and I don't really know where that thought was going. It just kind of popped into my head.
Yeah, but I think that's a thought that happens often, because we're trying to control time, but time will not be ruled by us. It's ruled by somebody else. And so
I think that's cool that, like, sorry, I didn't mean to cut off your thought. What were you saying?
That was the end of my thought. I just said, and so, and left it hanging.
I think it's cool that time is ruled by somebody who isn't ruled by time. Like, God isn't bound by time, but, like, he rules it. And I think that just goes to show his, like, power and majesty. Like, truly a king, because he's, like, controlling time. But, like, that's cool to me. Like, he's ruling something that doesn't rule him.
It is cool. And it, because of all, I feel like maybe one of the reasons, because he's outside of time and all of these things, is that inevitably things take longer than we ever want them to.
Yeah.
most of the time. I can't think of many instances where things have been quicker than I wanted them to be.
Yeah, that's true.
But because he's so patient.
I need to ask the Lord for his, like, perspective on time. I think I'd be a lot happier. I wouldn't be like, okay, now when am I gonna get asked on a date?
Right, any of those things for the next milestones.
Dang, well, that was fun.
Lovely chat.
I hope we kind of made sense. I miss my
house. Me too.
We'll see. Bye, guys.
By my side.
Thanks for listening.
We travel down the